Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 53 of Shutters Inc. He's back again. How are you?
I'm back, and I'm good, eh?
Do they really say that much?
There are T-shirts in Canada with A-E-H written across them, with the definition underneath, you know, of you know what it means, why Canadians say it. Yes, they do say it a lot, right. and they know they say it a lot. But their reasoning is it's better than huh. So
okay,
I would go with that. And of course, if you're from Queensland, you're used to the A because you guys say "aye" up there. Nice day, aye. And I think I'd prefer the Canadian, you know, the Canadian A. Such lovely people, the Canadians. I was in Jasper. Right. And I'm looking for a parking spot, you know, to park the car,
yeah.
And grab something to eat before we leave. And there's one, so I just pull straight in. And little did I know, there was a fella about to back into the parking spot that I was going to take. Now, of course, in Australia, you get the guy marching out of your car and coming over and sort of, you know, giving you a bit of what for. And if he didn't send you to the hospital. But, you know, he just drove off and found another parking space. So I ran off up the street after him and I said, oh, look, sorry, mate, I didn't see, you know, I was focused. I didn't see that you wanted that space, you know. And he said, that's okay, we're Canadian. Hey, we're easy going. So I thought, oh, that's just got to be so typical. All you guys up there, you're fabulous and you have a beautiful, beautiful country. Not that I didn't know that already.
Well, man, the photos that you've sent me are just awesome.
I'm going to get them up. My aim is to get them up on my website this weekend. So by the time you all hear this podcast, they should be on my Canada gallery. So check them out. Actually, you know what I wanted to do this week, Bruce?
What's that?
This week, for our listeners, I wanted to highlight the images that my son took.
Oh, man, they're just amazing. Talk about a chip off the old block.
Oh, I think, you know, I mean, if I could shoot like that when I was 15 years old, I would have been pretty darn happy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got such an eye. And some of the images that I've sent you, and I think we should put up, if you don't mind, on audio to you.
By all means.
Are taken with the Caplio, the Ricoh Caplio R5.
Sure.
Some of them weren't even taken with an SLR. So, you know, it just goes to show that with a creative eye, any piece of equipment can take a great photograph. There were times, actually, when Nathan and I, we just wanted to go for a bit of a walk. You know, we'd walk through the woods. And I might have taken an SLR with me, but Nathan, well, despite the fact that he had my D100 to use, he opted just to carry his, here's my D100, kid.
Such an underprivileged child.
Yes, yeah, I feel for him, because I had the D200, you know, and I thought, oh, the poor kid, you know, he's just got the D100. Underprivileged little kid. But he'd opted to take the Ricoh Caplio R5 that I'd been sent by the people here at Ricoh Australia to, you know, give a try. So I gave that to him while I used my GR, my Ricoh GR Digital, yeah, for, you know, my compact camera stuff. And we would walk through the woods. He'd be doing macro work with, you know, leaves and, you know, berries and twigs and stuff. And then he'd stop and shoot a landscape as we arrived at a lake or whatever with the Caplio R5 and, you know, did a really great job with it. So I'm pretty pleased, but his work with the DSLR gear was fabulous.
Now, I've got to ask, and I know I ask the same question every time you come back from somewhere.
Yeah.
The photos that you've sent, have you done much post-processing with them?
Not a lot, really, no. Not a lot, maybe a little bit of...
You know, you could have just made me feel better and went, yeah, man, we did hours of post-op.
I usually punch in, because digital images can tend to be a little flat, and I'm used to shooting with transparency, I punch them a little bit using curves.
Right.
Just a little bit, but not too much so that I lose a lot of the detail in the highlights or shadows, of course. Yeah. Just punch them a little bit. Apart from that, not a lot, really. No. Right. Maybe if I want to highlight something, I'll vignette the edge a little, but that really has nothing to do with how the image appears or how the landscape appears.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of work because the Canadian Rockies are, I think, probably if you were to take an area in the world and say, you know, which is the most spectacular, they would have to be it.
Right.
You drive from, you know, Banff in the south up to Jasper in the north. That's it's only about 300 kilometers, but it took us 2 days, and we were and we were in a hurry. You know, we were in a hurry. I had a wedding to shoot in Edmonton, and I wanted to spend a few days in Jasper.
Right.
So we were in a hurry. I could have spent 2 weeks driving the road, you know, that 300 kilometer stretch. There's a great book, if ever you're in the Rockies, by Darwin Wiggett, who actually is a Canadian.
Right.
And it's a step-by-step guide on how to shoot that road.
Wow.
And you pull in here at this time and do this thing and do that angle, and you'll get this shot. And it's this step-by-step guide as to how to shoot the Rockies. So if ever you're in the Rockies, get that book before you go, and you'll get some of the best photographs you'll ever take. I found out about the book on my last day in Jasper before I went to shoot the wedding in Edmonton, so which I was kicking myself about. But it is a great book. But it is a fabulous thing. And so a few things that I found out while we were in Canada was, one, if you have children, teach them how to take pictures, because they derive incredible enjoyment from it. And you as a parent, I mean, the time that I had with Nathan, my son, in Canada was just incredible. If you go to my blog off my website, off my news page, you'll see a couple of pictures of him and me, you know, shooting away in Canada. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience because, you know, your children grow up very quickly and they grow and become independent. And we just had the most fabulous time together, you know, as father and son. We've always been close friends, my son and I, but we just had this awesome time rocking out in the car to some, you know, some good old rock and roll, you know, everything from AC/DC to the Chili Peppers.
Excellent.
And then we'd get out of the car and shoot a landscape, and you know, and we just had a great time. And I don't think that there's sharing a hobby together as parents and children is fabulous, but the great thing about photography is that it brought so many things together at the same time. The hobby to share as, you know, father and son, the beauty of a landscape, and the adventure of photographing wildlife together, you know, and stalking elk through the woods, you know, trying to photograph them. Those sorts of things, those moments never leave you.
Yeah.
And they were brought about because we both share a love of photography. That, you know, Nathan has been exposed to photography since birth. You know, he has always had, you know, images in his face, more or less mine and those of my colleagues and friends who are photographers. So he knows the difference between good and bad pictures. And I suppose that's been the reason why he has developed such an eye, but he has an innate ability also. But our chance to share this time together, I cannot repay that couple in Edmonton enough, Leanne and Tyler, for their giving me this opportunity to do that. So fathers, as that Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song says, you know, teach your children well, because it really works. And you know the great thing? My son took his Game Boy with him.
Right.
And you know how teenagers these days are forever in front of game screens. He didn't even, the whole time we were in Canada, even in hotel rooms and driving, and he did not even get it out of the, you know, little crate, little thing that he packed it in. He didn't even look at it the whole time we were there.
That's great.
It is great. You know, the only screen he looked at was the one on the back of his D100.
Awesome.
You know, and of course a TV screen at night in the motel when we were just exhausted from a day's shoot. Those were the only two screens that he looked at. And I think that's good too, because giving children the chance, you know, your children and teenagers the chance to create is very important for their development, and their interaction and their feeling of accomplishment. And you know, Nathan is looking at his pictures now, and he has the memories of where we went, and he feels, you know, this sense of, you know, I created from that. And that's a very important aspect of human development.
There'll also be the great memories of just, you know, a couple of weeks spent with my dad where I didn't have to pose for my mates. I didn't have to act out of character. I was just able to be myself with my dad.
Yeah. You
know, and I think that it was probably just as good for him as it was for you, because I think I said to you before you went, it's probably one of the last great chances you'll get to bond with your son.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I don't see us ever growing apart, but you just simply get your own life, and you know, you get on with your own life as you do. And I'll never forget this time with him. It was, you know, very, very precious to me indeed. So you're absolutely right. He has actually returned from Canada with a new stride in his step because, well, cool. Nathan suffers with chronic fatigue syndrome, yeah. So we were concerned that he would even be able to do this. But a combination of adrenaline, fresh air, and, you know, management, good management, and there was nothing we didn't do. You know, we hiked to the Bow Peaks and to the summit up, you know, to photograph, you know, Pito Lake, which I have a new panorama of that I'll send to you. Cool. And yeah, you know, we walked through forests. We spent, you know, all day photographing. So he managed with his chronic fatigue to do all of those things. But there's nothing a bit of fresh air and a beautiful landscape won't do to encourage the body to work just that little harder. You know, so he's come back actually with a whole new sense of being. You know, he's traveled, he's photographed, he's seen things. I mean, in Australia, we don't have landscapes and mountains like that. We just don't.
No.
We have some beautiful landscape here, but nothing that compares with the grandeur of the Canadian Rocky Mountains. And of course, we don't have the nature of the wildlife that we saw there. You know, we photographed deer and elk, and, you know, it was just fabulous. And having to sneak up on them in the forests, you know, do the hunt and the stalk, take their pictures, you know.
I suppose it's all relative. Like, a Canadian would come here and go home and go, oh, man, they've got wildlife unlike anything we've got here. Yeah. You know, they've got these kangaroos and... koala bears.
Crikey, they got these crocs. You know, yeah. See, they we would lay the crikey on everybody we saw just to give them a stir. You know, it's funny, actually. It's funny the impact Steve Irwin had on North America, because everywhere we went, people commiserated with us on the demise of Steve Irwin. Yeah, and that was a really lovely thing, actually, for them to say, because he was very well, you know, admired.
Yeah.
A couple of things. I also, you know, sort of was returned to me to. You know, as a strong thought while I was photographing. And there were two filters that I used the entire time. And that was my polarizer, my 173 mm-hmm. polarizer, which I've used on a couple of the images I sent you. Right. Not many, but most of the time I used the my graduated filters.
Was going to ask about that.
Yep. Yep, I had to. I quite simply had to. There's a shot of, and I think it's Sunwapta Falls, where there's an alpenglow mountain shot and the falls in the foreground. Yep. I actually have a with and without graduated filter that next week's podcast will send to you.
Okay.
So I won't do it this week because I want everyone to have a look at Nathan's pictures this week to see just, you know, what a teenage kid can pull out. And I want you to all, if you don't mind, dear listeners, if you have a look at these images and ask yourself, how would my children feel if they had taken them? Now, not everybody lives in the Canadian Rockies, or not everybody travels to the Canadian Rockies, but we all have somewhere to take our kids to take pictures, whether it be, you know, in the city or in the country or along the beach or wherever. How would my children feel if these were the images that they had taken under our guidance, our instruction, you know, together? What would it do something for their self-esteem? Would it do something for their sense of creation, their sense of, you know, talent of creativity and art? How would it make them feel? I know the difference in Nathan has been quite, as I've mentioned, quite incredible. So have a look at Nathan's photographs, you know, on the audiotou.com website that Bruce will post up.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of him, you know, not only as a person, but now as an artist in his own right. And I hope that, you know, his passion for photography continues, because it certainly is worth doing.
Was he using filters much?
He would say, "Dad, can I borrow the grad?" You know, yes. So, he had his own P173 blue-yellow polarizer he would use from time to time. But the thing about, you know, you can't use it a lot. There's only certain situations where in the Canadian Rockies it would work well.
Right.
And we were given every kind of weather you would possibly imagine in the short time we were there.
Really?
We had, as we drove through, because I picked up a car in Vancouver, we drove to the Rockies, you know, from there. And driving through BC, we had this beautiful autumn, you know, hillsides, gold and red and orange.
Yeah.
And then in Banff and Jasper, we had beautiful days, and we had some cloudy days, which was great for shooting waterfalls. Absolutely fabulous for shooting waterfalls. And then as we climbed up to Pito Lake to look at the Pito Lake, which is the shape of a bear rug, I'll send you a panorama that I've done of that scene. It's a beautiful, beautiful view. And as we walked up, it started to snow on us. And Nathan has never stood in falling snow before, so that was quite an experience. But it gave us, you know, so much variety of images in the short time we were there. If ever I were to return to Canada, I would return in either September or October, without a doubt. It is the most versatile time of year. And wildlife was out, and it was just fabulous. So we had a lot of things to cover in that time, which meant that it gave us a lot of opportunity to try new things, you know, in photographs. I mean, we don't get a lot of snow here in Australia, so we had to learn, you know, what do you do when there's snow? What do you photograph? How do you expose? All those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And it was terrific. I took my Tamron 17-50 with me, which is a new lens I've acquired. It's a Tamron 17-50 f/2.8, and I used it a lot on the wedding that I photographed. And I will send you some images from the wedding in Edmonton, so everyone can see that as well. I just love this lens. If you're looking at, you know, a medium range zoom but with a constant aperture at f/2.8, the Tamron 17-50 is really wonderful. Very sharp. And because it's a 2.8, you can use it, you know, to reduce your depth of field if you're doing a portrait at the 50 end of the scale, which is a bit short, but nonetheless will do it. Being 2.8, it's a good available light lens, but I used it for everything from landscape through to, you know, like I say, at the wedding. It was hardly ever off the camera. So, and of course, never ever go without a tripod. My son and I we're constantly picking on my poor wife, who remained here in Australia, because she said, you're not taking your tripods to Canada, are you? Which, of course, you know, we just looked at each other and said, I think so. There was an occasion where we went up on the gondola at Banff up to Sulphur Mountain.
Right.
And the weather had set in, but we couldn't take our tripods with us on the gondola, so everything we did was handheld. But I must admit, I missed not being able to stop down and get my depth of field. You know, the 17-50 2.8 was great, and I had to use it at 2.8 because it was, you know, the weather had set in up the top of the mountain there.
Yep.
But I got some great shots of these gnarled root systems of the trees up there that struggle to breathe because it's so high. But I would have loved a tripod, so don't ever leave. It's like an American Express card. Don't leave home without it.
So why couldn't you take the tripods with you?
Because you're in a sort of a gondola, a cable car type arrangement thingy, and we didn't know what the situation was going to be like when we got up there. But you're in this tiny confined space with other people. I just thought it might have got in the way. Anyway, we possibly could have, but point is, I suppose we didn't, thinking that we couldn't. As a result, you know, I still got great photographs, but handheld, and I'm not a landscape shooter who does handheld stuff. I don't think you can do a landscape effectively, really effectively handheld. Yeah. You know, you need to stop, compose, use a grad filter if you need to, or a polarizer if you need to, use the right lens, take your time with a landscape. But Nathan and I, we never had our cameras off our tripods unless we were photographing wildlife, in which case, you know, we were running like banshees through the forest with our telephoto lenses. He had my 80-200 2.8, and I had my 300 f/4. Wow. Underprivileged kid, you know. Yeah. He would D100 with an 80-200 2.8 AF Nikkor on the end of it. Poor kid. I'm going to have to get him some decent gear one day.
He's a case study for World Vision.
Yeah. I might send his picture to you. I might send his picture to UNICEF, the poor kid.
Mate, well, I'm glad you had a good time.
We did. And I just will highlight again, everybody, teach your children the art of photography. If they take to it or not, you've given it your best shot. But I honestly believe that for parents to share something with their children that is widens their view of the world and gives them a hobby that gets them out of their bedrooms and out from in front of screens and teaches them to create and see. I mean, Nathan, walking through the forest with just his Caplio, he had to look for things. And he said to me, actually, an interesting thing as we were walking along the trail. We'd been photographing these big scenes, waterfalls and mountains and, you know, big things.
Yep.
And yet what we need, this cloudy day, we decided to just walk through, do a few hikes up to some lakes and things like that. We just brought our compacts with us and just thought we'd free ourselves up a little bit, just so we could enjoy the walk, you know, and just shoot whatever we could. He used the macro setting on the R5, and he was looking at the ground and seeing all these fascinating things, fallen leaves, you know, berries, mosses, that he'd never seen, he'd never really stopped to study before. But he said to me, oh, Dad, you know, now I'm seeing so much more because I'm looking for something to take a picture of.
Yeah.
And, you know, you analyze that comment, and if he takes that forward to the rest of his life, how much more is he going to see of the world around him just because of one day spent looking for small things to take pictures of? There is no better hobby in the world you could teach your children, if you ask me, than the art of photography, because it will give them so much more option in their life at so many levels. I really believe that.
Definitely. Well, I look forward to the other photos you're going to email through to me.
Yes.
And they will be on the audio2.com website for anyone that wants to check them out.
Well, you've got Nathan's pictures already because I mailed them to you.
That's
and I'll
right.
send you I'll send you a couple of pictures from the wedding and the a panorama that I've put together of Pito Lake.
Beautiful.
using a new piece of software called Panorama Plus 2 by Serif.
Oh, okay.
It's probably the best panorama stitching software I've ever seen.
Is that right?
It's awesome. I did vertical shots at Pito Lake, and this has just sewn them together without any hint of a stitch or a connection. Everything, it looks like I've gotten out with a panorama camera and shot the thing.
Wow.
I'm just having a little bit of trouble, and I'll be honest with you, getting the high res option out of this when it stitches it together. It allows me to create something big enough for screen, but it doesn't allow me anything to it doesn't allow me to save at the moment at the high res or the optimum.
Now that's okay.
I'm just going to get to the bottom of that, and I'll let you know how. It could be something I've done, but for stitching, it's fabulous.
I actually use one of Serif's other products, Page Plus, which is their desktop publishing program.
Okay.
Brilliant program. So
really?
I can imagine that if they've applied the same sort of quality to this panorama program, it's probably a good piece of software.
I'll send you the panorama that I've stitched together of Pito Lake, and you can have a look. It is awesome.
Cool.
Really good.
One thing I do want to mention before we go, I've had a few people write to me and say, what's going on with the Gorillapod thing? Haven't seen or heard anything, blah, 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 blah. And I just wanted to mention that I have been in touch with the guy who is my contact at Joby, but he seems to not be receiving all of the emails that I send. It just seems like one in every five seems to get through to him. So I shall persevere with that, and as I know more, I will let you know, dear listener.
Okay, and, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get it sorted pretty soon.
No worries.
Okay, mate.
Thanks, Bruce.
We'll talk with you next week.
Look forward to it, mate. And thank you, everybody. It's nice to be back.
Excellent. Good to have you back.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Audio2u delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audio2u.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
Audio2u.com.